So Malakul Maut says to Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Anna bi kulli mu'minin rafiqun. I'm kind and gentle to every mu'min. So the malaika are commanded to be gentle towards you just on account of your iman. Iman is such a priceless thing. The malaika, the absolute innocent creation of Allah Ta'ala, are commanded to be gentle towards you on account of your iman. Now the question is that how do we secure this support and the security of the malaika? These malaika that make dua for you. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Let alone the rest of the malaika, those that are tasked to support the arsh and the throne, they also make dua for you. And not only for you, for your children, for your wives, and for your parents. What else you want? The average person, if he wants the comfort, he wants the comfort for himself, for his wife, and for his children. Right? You take an insurance cover for all these people, isn't it? Wife, children, and parents. What else? Afterwards, someone else, some friend, whatever else, will think about how to make some ikram for him. But the primary concern is these three people: wife, children, and parents. So these malaika, they are so compassionate and sympathetic towards that mu'min that they make dua for all this. They are your insurance cover. They are security, they are your protection. What dua they make for you? Allah Ta'ala make them maaf. Whatever they did, Allah Ta'ala make them maaf. Forgive them. And number two, protect them against the fire of Jahannam. Number three, وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Guard them against all evil. Evil is general, whether it pertains to the world, whether it pertains to the hereafter. This is your insurance cover. But then how do you service this insurance cover? You know, an insurance cover, you need to service it. So how do you service it? What contributions do you give to it? That's the third dua they make for you. One is forgiveness. Right? One is protection against Jahannam. That's the second dua they make for you. The third dua, and protect them against all evil, calamities, problems, difficulties, guard them against it. The fourth dua, Allah Ta'ala admit them into Jannat. All, his son, his father, his wife, his children, Allah Ta'ala get them all into Jannat. Anything else left? Nothing else. All duas, whatever you wanted, they provided complete cover, full cover. They give you a full cover, full house. Nothing, they haven't left out anything. Give you Jannat, protect you against evils, make him maaf, usher them all into Jannat. So everything, a full, complete, comprehensive cover they've given you. These malaika don't only look after you in their duas. لَهُ مُؤَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِي يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They surround you from in front, from behind, from your sides, they take care of you. يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They look after you. If it wasn't for this protective security of this malaika, then you would have been finished. What stops you from falling down into a ditch, losing balance, from any jinnat hitting you and smashing you down? What stops them from doing it? It's the malaika that protect you. يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They guard you. By the command of Allah Ta'ala, they guard you. Now that is your physical self and your physical goodness, they protect you and they guard you. Then, for your spiritual goodness also, they guard you. In your heart, there are two columns. There are two apartments in your heart. One apartment, the farishta and the angel has taken control of the one apartment. And he is spurring you towards good all the time. He's taken control of one apartment, he's spurring you towards good, inciting you towards good all the time. Do this, don't do this. But he's inciting you, he's spurring you on, he's encouraging you towards good all the time. So you see, they're looking after your hereafter. They're looking after this world. They're looking after your moving on the right cause. They're spurring you. They're encouraging you all the time. Now this is the malaika. These are the farishta. They love you more than you love yourself. Then the same malaika are coming to you, coming to your rescue at the time of your death. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهَ تَخَافُ. بھئی گھبرانے کی بات کوئی نہیں ہے, گھبراتے نہیں. You mustn't be afraid of anything now. You're in good hands. So the malaika take care of you then too, leaving the world and they're taking care of you. They're guarding you. You see what a comprehensive plan this is. Can you show me any insurance company that can give you such an incomprehensive plan? Looked after your hereafter, looked after your jannat, looked after your world, looked after your physical self, looked after your own home. It's a complete comprehensive cover this malaika are giving you. So they come right at the time of death, at a crucial moment, chasing the shaitan, etc. away, evil forces away. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. You're in the grave again. They're pushing away everything else. Munkar Nakir, you go one side, and you need to interrogate, you interrogate from one side. You don't come close to this person. In the grave, they're looking after you. You're getting up on the day of Qiyamah, again. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. They are with you again. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Nothing to fear about, nothing to grieve about. You haven't lost, don't stress yourself, nothing to grieve about, nothing to be worried about. Then they don't leave you. Then in Jannat again. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. Every entrance. How you find in India, you know, at the restaurant. Sab, salam sab. Here the malaika are saying you, Salamun alaikum. At every entrance, Salamun alaikum. Respect, honor, protection, cover, everything they're giving you. Anything else do you want? Anything else that's left out? The hereafter they took care of, this world they took care of, the grave they took off, they took care of, your death they took care of. So it's such a comprehensive protective cover that the malaika are affording you. But then what do they want from you? They are offering you this type of a protective, comprehensive cover. But what do they want from you? You need to service this. They're providing you with something, so you need to service this cover. You need to service this insurance, this security. You need to service it. So how are you going to service this? So there are certain do's and don'ts, right? Some of the things that keep the malaika away is pictures of animate objects. Pictures of animate objects, and they will keep the malaika away. Whether it is in a television, video, whatever it is. But it's a picture of an animate object. Whether it is in your album that you have stored up some photograph of your wedding, whatever else. But it's a pictured object, and these malaika that are offering you a protective cover. You didn't pay 1 cent, but they're looking after you all the time. They are protecting you all the time. Now you say, no, I'm stored it up just as a memory in my cell phone, whatever else. But the malaika say, we can't stand this. It's either we or the photo. It's either we or the photo. If that memory may be strong, may be great, we don't dispute the fact that that memory may be great. But obviously, the memory of yourself or of your father can't be greater than the memory of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. When Rasulullah entered the Kaaba Sharif, and amongst the first things that he had done was to break down those idols and those images of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. So you may be great, your father may be great. He may be an alim or a great personality in whichever way, but obviously he can't be as great as them. So Rasulullah cracked them down, broke them down, smothering, smashed them down, finished, get out of the Kaaba Sharif. So by the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll break these things. So this is the first thing that keeps away the malaika. Pictures of animate objects. You just keep it. And if this picture of the animate object was something worthwhile keeping, then the most deserving place to keep those pictures was in a masjid. But I'm sure you haven't seen a masjid with a picture of an animate object. No masjid. I'm sure you haven't seen a masjid. Maybe you saw a hall or an airport, etc., with a picture of an animate object. But a masjid, you'll never see with a picture of an animate object. Not inside the masjid, and perhaps not outside the masjid, but inside the masjid, definitely not. Why? If it was permissible, and if it was something that was going to remind you about your hereafter, reminding you about good, then the better place and the more appropriate place for good was the masjid. So why isn't it kept till this day in the masjid? Good things are kept in the masjid, they are stored in the masjid, but the masjid has been cleansed and purified of this. Why is it? So the malaika are telling you, by way of inference, it's either us or either the picture. But both of us can't live together. We can't live together, we can't get along. You keep us or you keep the picture, one of the two, make up your mind. You are helpless in that situation, that's maaf. You got money with pictures, obviously, right? But you can't help it. Passport, identity, ID cards, documents, etc. You can't help it. That's maaf. Allah Baqul, make us maaf. And we should also make istighfar for it. Maybe there's an element of nafs in it. Passport, ID cards, etc. There may be an element of nafs. So we make istighfar. So if there was the possibility of a guna, then we have washed ourselves out of it. We didn't justify, and we didn't try to justify a wrong. In any way, we didn't try to justify the wrong. Perhaps there's a percentage of wrong. So we made istighfar and washed ourselves. Don't justify it. Don't try and substantiate, legitimize. Don't do this. This legitimizing business is the sickness of this day. And really, sometimes I feel ulama and learned people, they should change the stance. They can't be moving with the wind. They need to be absolutely straight, absolutely strong and stable in their position. You know, today I felt so down. I was very hurt, very, very hurt. I just walked into the madrasa. One person just read his Fajr namaz and he came to me. He saw me. He was going towards his car. He came straight. Nice beard, person, namazi, etc. No, I bought a shop. Jazakallah, I'll give you barakat in that shop. So now, Mona, I bought the shop with the stocks. And there's some haram foods also that I had to buy, because I had to buy the whole shop off. So there were some haram foods also in that. So, Mona, can't you work out a plan for me? Can't you work out, somehow you can make it permissible for me? Now, I couldn't get angry with him. This is a reflection of how the ulama are going. I'm very sorry to say it. It's the reflection of how they are behaving that's making them ask this type of questions. So that made me feel very hurt. Now see the direction that we are taking them, that's making them asking this type of question. So I couldn't be angry with him. All I told him, bhai, just be firm and throw it out of the system. May Allah Ta'ala replace you with something better. I couldn't give him a lengthy answer. How can you ask such a question, etc. I couldn't say that much. Because it's our own weakness. It's our weakness that we've been guiding them like this, showing them some loophole this way, that way, etc. And working out a plan for them. So in everything they want to work out a plan, they can't suffer any type of financial loss. What's made him ask that? You think to yourself, what's made him ask? They listen to the radio, they listen to this program, that program. For everything, a situation can come out. One doctor came to see me. When was it? On a Wednesday. I think it was a Wednesday. So he says he had to go to some meeting, Polikwane somewhere, whatever it was. So there was the director of a bank, so-called Islamic. Now he's entertaining them and all that. So he says, no, life insurance is permissible. And really the interest in the bank is not so bad as people make it to be. Right? And then the topic went on to some Maulana Menk, who got married for the second time. There he took the Maulana left, right and center. How can he do such a thing? What he thinks of himself? And what must be the condition of his wife, that first wife? What is haram? What is explicit? The Quran is saying, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. That became halal. And this, what the Quran Sharif is saying, is halal and permissible. Now, that became haram. See, this is what the Quran Sharif says, يَتَخَبَّتُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah Bak, he smashes his brains. He can't think right. Man can't think right. So any type of a financial loss, you can't suffer. You must never suffer. What system is this? This is that Western system that we are following. That nothing, no loss. See, that whole brain, the whole mentality of a brain, sorry, the whole mentality of a bank is what? Is not to suffer any loss. Covered from every direction. You must only gain. You can't suffer. So then eventually that type of mentality moves on to its people. They cover themselves so well that they can't suffer. They must never suffer. If there has to be a loss, then the client is taking it. They are not taking the loss. If the loss is coming, the loss is going on that end. Is that what Iman teaches us? When Rasulullah had declared liquor haram, then what was the response of the Sahaba Kiram? Straight away. They say millions and millions of rands of liquor was flowing down the streets of Medina Munawwara. Millions and billions of rands. Sahaba Kiram say, thereafter, if there were rains, and the rains had subsided, sun was shining, the color, the sparkle of that wine used to be still visible on those rocks. So much they were into wine. But that one single command, everything is gone. So any amount of financial loss was easy for them to suffer. They were required to give lives. Yeah, we just required to just leave that little bit of wealth. But we can't do it. How can we do it? They were required to give lives. Their lives, their children's lives. Their homes, their properties, their businesses, everything they were required to leave. That was a symbol of Iman. Otherwise, you're not a mu'min. You don't leave Makkah Mukarramah, don't come and stay in Madinah Munawwara. Leaving your property, your wife, your children, your home. Then you're not a mu'min. And here you are asked to leave little things out. Leave these things out, and then you will be classed as a believer. I can't do it. So anyway, the first thing that keeps away the malaika is pictures of animate objects. The second thing that keeps away the malaika is music and musical instruments. Music and musical instruments, they keep away the malaika. Malaika don't join them. That company that's got a bell, musical instruments, la tashabuhumul malaika. The malaika don't even accompany them. So wherever it is, I don't want to deprive myself from the company of the malaika. Whatever it is, but this malaika offering me that comprehensive plan, and I must abandon the plan that the malaika are offering me. No, I'm not prepared for that. That malaika's comprehensive plan, I want it. Come what may, but I want the plan. They are offering it to me. They are securing me. They are making dua for me. They are looking after me in the grave. They are looking after me at the time of death, the most crucial point of my life. And they I must abandon. No, I can't abandon. I can abandon you. I can abandon the music, but I can't abandon this malaika. So, wherever and however, whatever it takes to avoid these type of things and to guard ourselves against these things, we will do it. The malaika don't like lies and bad speech. See, anything that is vulgar, bad, not appropriate speech, the malaika don't like it. That's the third thing that keeps away the malaika. Where the speech is bad, there's ghibat carrying on. We need to think to ourselves that before opening our mouths, do I need to speak about this, number one? Does it relate to my Islam? Or am I in charge of that person's Islam? It's my own children I need to speak about it. If it's something I'm in charge of, then I need to get it right. But it doesn't relate to me, I don't speak about it. I either correct it myself, if it's mine, my subjects, I need to correct it. Or I need to discuss how to bring about a correction in my own home, or in my own subjects. Now the Western method is that you worry about everything else but yourself, but your home, but your immediate people. Worried about whole, what's happening in America, what's happening here, there, everywhere. But tumhare ghar mein kya ho raha hai? Are you worried about that? They're reading namaz on time. Is the Quran Sharif tilawat going on at home? Are they doing the right things? Are they dressed correctly? Are we concerned about that? Or are we only concerned about what's happening right throughout the globe and forgetting ourselves? So this is a Western culture that has rubbed onto many of us. You're concerned about everybody, we'll talk about everybody else but ourselves, but our wife and children. You know, we don't, not worried about them. No, they are masoom. They are farishtas. I don't have to talk about them. And if we do talk about them, then only good sides about them. Oh, my family did this and my family did this and she said that. But the weaknesses, no, they are farishtas. They can't have weaknesses. They can't have weaknesses. They are perfect, absolute. Everybody else or anybody else, it's easy. Talking is cheap. So anybody's izzat we can pull out. His izzat, her izzat, anybody's izzat we can pull out. So this is the third point that the malaika are very particular about. The person who is not considerate and not careful about his tongue. Malaika, you get deprived of their company. You get deprived of their companionship. They don't come around. They move away straight. They're not under your instruction. They're under Allah Ta'ala's instruction. And if you are faithful, you are loyal, they will come to you. They'll be with you. They'll be on your side. They'll be before you. They'll be behind you. That's the second thing that keeps, the third thing that keeps away the malaika. And the fourth thing that keeps away the malaika is to remain in a state of impurity. Right? Until you miss your fajr namaz. Even if you are in a state of impurity, require a compulsory ghusl, the better thing, the best thing is to have wuzu and then sleep away. Although it is permissible to sleep in that state as well. But the better thing is make wuzu at least. Wash the impure area, make wuzu and then go and sleep. That's the better thing. So this is the fourth thing that keep away the malaika. It's impurities all lying around, but you're considerate about it, your bodily purity, etc. So such simple things, and you will enjoy the company of the malaika. Man made wuzu and he passed away in that condition in his sleep. He died as a shaheed. He made wuzu before you could sleep. He went and slept away. Right? And in that state you passed away. You died as a shaheed. So these are the don'ts. And the do's that attract the malaika is haffathumul malaika. Man who's engaging in zikr in his home, the malaika come and surround. Their home, malaika have surrounded, they are protected. Reciting the Quran Sharif together or alone, malaika come and surround. You're doing ta'lim, the malaika coming and surrounding. They are descending and they are protecting you. So much so that you are in the process of learning and teaching. The malaika actually lowering their wings. Come. I'm lowering my wings for you. So do you see the do's and the don'ts of the malaika and how much they like for you, what don't they do for you? So Rasulullah had seen Malakul Maut. And Malakul Maut is requested by Rasulullah that be lenient, be kind towards my Sahaba Kiram. Malakul Maut says, أَنَا بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ رَفِيقٌ. I am lenient towards every believer. Not only this Ansari, but every believer. But you be faithful, you be loyal, and you will see the malaika on your side. You will see the malaika, your friends. Right? You will see the malaika's protection. You will see their duas. You will see them looking after you right through, across the board they will be looking after you. Looking after you, your children, your wife. You are in the masjid and they are looking after you. Hum fi salatihim, wallahu fi buyutihim. They are engaged in the namazes and wallahu min waraihim. Allah is taking care of your affairs, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your home. You are engaged with me, I'm looking after you. So you are faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are loyal to Him, and Allah ta'ala will take care. When that person is dying, you know. So he is crying and he's grieving that it's a time of separation, time to leave. So the Malakul Maut says at that time, you know what? Before I could come to you, I had sent my messengers, calamities, tragedies, ailments, sicknesses, loss of life of others. So all these were my messengers. And they were all meant to remind you, but you did not reflect. And now today I have come in person. And I'm not going to turn away. The Malakul Maut says, there isn't a person that is living anywhere in the globe. In the mountains, in the valleys, right? In the villages, in the towns. But I know each one personally. I don't need any type of introduction. I know each person, personally I know him. I don't require any type of introduction. And then he says, I see them all 5 times in the day. So I know what type of knowledge Malakul Maut has got of you. He knows you personally. He sees you each day, 5 times a day. He sees you so well, like the grains on a tray, he sees you so well. So for him to pull you up, it's so easy. But he can't act without the command of Allah Ta'ala. He can't even pull out the ruh, the soul of a mosquito without the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Sir Sayyid is the founder of Aligarh. He has some Western ideas, right? Maybe his intention may have been good, but his ideas were very much anti-Islamic. He had boarded a train and it happened that Maulana Abdul Hayy Lakhnavi Sahib Rahmatullahi, great muhaddis of his time, he had also sat in the same compartment as Sir Sayyid. So Maulana Abdul Hayy Sahib Rahmatullahi saw that he's a Muslim man. So what is this? Why do you keep a dog with you? So Sayyid said that I heard that the malaika go away, they depart from that home where there is a dog. So these are the malaika that are appointed to take away my soul, so I'm avoiding death. So he thought he'll get away from this Mulana so cheaply. So Mulana told him, but this dog also, you find it dying, don't you see it? He said, yeah, I find it dying. So that angel that is appointed to take away and remove the soul of the dog will pull out your soul as well. In other words, what he was getting at, you get both type of malaika. The malaika of rahmat, the malaika of azab. Now if you want to deprive yourself from the malaika of rahmat, then you must carry on like this. That's what he was getting at. The one that has got that loyalty and that faithfulness, then this malaika are also compassionate and loving. That you've been faithful to him, we also belong to him. You are his slave, we are his slave. But we saw your whole life, you were faithful, you were loyal. So when you kept to the standard, right, then we will also take care of you. We will also protect you. We will also look after you. Don't worry about it. Don't stress now. Because you respected the standard. When you respected the standard, so we will also look after you. We will also take care of you. Okay. So what this malaika look at is the degree of faithfulness, the degree of loyalty. You've got that, they are for you. I can explain, they look at you 5 times a day. رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُؤَلَّكٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ Your heart is attached to the masjid. You left the masjid and you are just waiting, when can I come back? Not that you just left the bride and came to the masjid, And when can the namaz finish that I can go back to the bride? Or the other way, but can I leave the bride and come to the masjid? So your heart has been so attached to the masjid, that no way, where can I leave all this, everything else, and I come back to the masjid? So the malaika are watching you. They're watching how's your moves, how's your attachment. And when you are attached, then they are attached to you. There must be a beginning point, you know. So let's try and start off with the perfection and the correction of namaz. And we want all of us here about the virtues and the service that the malaika are providing. Right? All of us are hearing about it. And I'm sure nobody that's seated here or any person who's got an iota of iman at heart doesn't want the malaika and doesn't want their du'as, doesn't want their companionship, doesn't want their protection. Everyone, all of us need it. So if we do need that, and we are really pining for that, then there must be a start somewhere. So the right way to start off is perhaps with the most important tenet of iman, and that is namaz. Right. So the namaz has got about three or four elements to perfect. You want to gain the perfection of namaz, then these three or four elements, you've got it, and your namaz has been perfected. One is try and perfect all the postures of namaz. More than the student that we are teaching is our own namaz. We are asking him, all right, your feet must be like this, and you must be like this. And then you, in our own namaz, then we are dancing around, shaking this way, that way, again this way, scratching here, scratching there. See? But the person that we are teaching and instructing, and we are telling him, by remain motionless in namaz. But Mawlana, but why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? How are you shaking around? So, the first thing is get the postures right in namaz. That's the first. Remember, people watch you. Whether you are hafiz, whether you're wearing a kurta, whether you're an alim, but they watch you. How you talk, how you conduct yourself. Each step of your life, they're watching you. Got a beard. A mu'min is supposed to be behaving differently. More than his attire is his behavior, how he talks, how he conducts himself, how he works with people. An attire you can change in a minute. You can wear a suit and a tie. In the next moment you can be in a kurta with a turban and everything else, right? 1 minute you can change. But what you need to change is your whole composure, your whole personality you need to change. That's the real thing. That's the thing that is needed to be changed. People don't get so impressed with your clothing as they get impressed with your character and your ways. Now, someone mustn't take the wrong end of the stick and say, well, that means clothing is not important. It is important. But more important than that character, that clothing, is your character. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. So the first thing is get that namaz right. The posture right. Our ruku, is it done right? Sajda is right. Am I standing right? Am I sitting right? The second thing that we need to get right in our namaz is to see that the namaz is done with jamaat. In the masjid, it's done with namaz, with jamaat. Right? Not only with jamaat, but with the takbira ula. As the imam is saying, Allahu Akbar, same time, Allahu Akbar, and we are there. We're doing everything for everything else, right? For the business, security, sustaining that business, we're doing everything. But sustaining this plan, this comprehensive plan of ours, then what do we do for it? We need to do something for that as well. See? So this is the second thing that we need to do, and that is get that namaz with the takbira ula, in try your best to be in the first saf. Obviously, those that are ulama and more learned, then the hadith says they should be closer to the imam. Those that are ulama and learned, they must be closer to the imam. Right. So this is the second thing that is required, that get your namaz with the takbira ula in the first saf. And number three, the third thing that is required to get that namaz perfect, is to ensure that the namaz is performed in the right time, in the mustahab time. Not just takbira ula, and not just Jamaat, but the Mustahab time with the correct postures. Now, one simple way to get this started off, you know, to get the namaz and the devotion and the dedication that is required in namaz, right, one simple way I was thinking of, the people aren't in the position now to take a big plan. Small plans, small things, they will all add up, inshallah. Right. Show them a long wazifa, they can't manage it. Show them to do so many thousand, they can't do it. So, alright, start off small. Come to the masjid slightly earlier than normal. Right. And for at least 1.5 minutes, just 1.5 minutes, 90 seconds, engage sincerely from the bottom of your heart, engage in istighfar. Sins that I've done knowingly, unknowingly, Allah Pak, do forgive me. I've hurt someone, Allah, you forgive me and forgive that person. The most I could do, ask forgiveness on behalf of that person. So for 1.5 minutes at least, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. At least 1.5 minutes. And the next 1.5 minute, then think of anything that relates to the hereafter. Anything. From your death through Jannat, whatever phases you have to get through, then think of anything, any topic. Any topic that seems to be more appealing and attractive to your heart. Any topic that seems to be more comfortable with your mind. Whether it is Jannat, whether it is Jahannam, whether it is the Qabr, whether it is the scene of death, whether it is your Janazah Namaz that is taking place and everybody is crying and grieving. Whatever scene that seems to be more appealing to you, it doesn't have to be one rigid system, no. Anything that relates to the hereafter, but think about it. Just 1.5 minute. That I'm moving in this direction, and what have I done? What preparations have I made? So 1.5 minute, you will cleanse, you will clean, you will dry clean, and you will purge out all that wrong from your system. And the next 1.5 minute, at least something that is related to the hereafter. Your Jannat, your Qabr, your death, your hereafter, the day of judgment, standing before the reckoning seat, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving an account for all what you have done. So for 1.5 minutes only, that's all. Now you stand up in namaz, now you see you will have a degree of focus, a degree of attention, degree of concentration and khushu. People complain, oh, I got no khushu in salah. But why did you make an effort for that? Did you endeavor to acquire that? Did you make an effort for that? If you made an effort and you endeavored, then definitely there will be a different color in your namaz. There will be a different feeling in your namaz. The namaz will have a different effect. Okay. So we were speaking about the malaika, and I branched on to Malakul Maut, and then I explained that the malaika are your friends. They are friends of believers. They want to protect you. They want to be on your side. And then I explained that what should we do to gain the security and the protection of this malaika. And then I say that at least what we can do to start off, get ourselves started off, it is at least to get our namaz right. Al-Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had seen one person was serving him, and he perhaps dropped that cup over. The contents may have spilled over. So Mawlana told him, "Bhai, abhi tak tumhari namaz sahi nahi hui. You haven't got your namaz in order still." Now, outwardly it seems like there is no relationship. He spilled the contents of that cup, and here Mawlana is telling him that your namaz is not right. But really there is a relationship between the both. If the namaz is going to come right, everything else in your life is going to come right. That's the property of namaz. That's the khasiyat, it's the effect of namaz. That once the namaz comes right, everything else will fall in line. But the namaz is not right in doing everything else, then you haven't got it right. You need to get that namaz right for everything else to come right in life. See the relationship. The namaz comes right, everything falls in position. Right? You got to complain about your motor car. So you say, look at the engine. No, this is right, this is not right, this is not right. Wait, get the engine right. You got the engine right, everything will work out. Okay? So the namaz is like that engine. You got that right, everything else will fall in place. But you're working on everything else and you are neglecting your namaz, then nothing can work out in your life. You see the importance of namaz in life, in your whole life. I mean, there must be a reason why Rasulullah meant to say, Qurratu ayni fi salah, that the calmness of my eyes is in namaz. You know, we speak about stress, and we speak about tension, etc. Rasulullah is telling us very simply and very easily, if you want to de-stress, then get yourself attached into namaz. You get yourself focused in namaz, put your whole concentration on namaz, and you will see that you will be de-stressed. You will find a comfort, you will feel a relief. But let that namaz be a real namaz, and you will find that the namaz will do so much for you, it will bring you about that relief for you. Any difficulty, any problem, the hadith says, Fazi'a ila salah. Rasulullah is rushing towards namaz. Any difficulty, any problem. You hear of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, any difficulty, 2 rakat of namaz, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can't find a solution to a masla. Masla is very complicated. And he just has to complete the salam for the 2 rakats, and the answer is flashing before his mind. You hear of great ulama, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, and sometimes he's coming across some type of a difficult point. Can't find a solution. Again, getting into namaz, getting into sajda, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a blockage over Allah ta'ala, and you can remove that blockage. He's completed the namaz and the blockage is over. But do we have that type of relationship with the namaz? Do we have that relationship? We have that connection with namaz. That we do the namaz and we see that blockage is over. So a simple way to start is get this namaz right. And I explain this, the 3 things that are required. Do the postures right. Alhamdulillah, in this day and time, you find in every area, there are sufficient ulama kiram. Every area, any place, any town that you go, you'll find ulama kiram. So rather than carrying on with that inherited namaz, try and perfect the namaz. Alright, my postures, are they right? Is this right? Is this not right? Is my recitation right? One thing at a time. Alright, we can't do everything in one go, we can't do it. And you may feel embarrassed in reciting the Quran Sharif in front of everybody. Alright, get one alim and take him in the corner. Can you listen to my surah Fatiha? Can you listen to my surah, my surahs? Can you listen to my kunut, the dua kunut? I may have mistakes, just correct me, just listen to me. Can't we do this? Now we're reciting that namaz, we're performing that namaz, and we're performing it with conviction. We're performing it with certainty. So this happens when you build that salat. And one last thing is, in order to get this namaz right, nowadays, I suggest this, that when we have dawats before Isha, not after Isha. For anything that is caused, not dawats after Isha. You see, the dawat, if it commences after Isha, then it will pull through the night, because there is no namaz that's coming in between. And you don't have to work after Isha. So Isha namaz ends at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. You say the night is still young. By the time you finish and you're going home, it's already 12 o'clock. Get into bed 12:30. So the thing that will happen immediately is whatever recitation, zikr you have to do after Isha that is left out. For a surety, you will miss out the tahajjud namaz. You will get up for fajr namaz, but lazily, sluggish. You don't have the motivation in you. For what? For the little bit of dawah, little bit of bri that you had, you compromise that sawab for that isha, for that tahajjud, for that fajr namaz, you did it sluggishly. You are a worker in your shop and he's sluggish. Do you enjoy the service that he gives to you? You don't enjoy it. He's sluggish, you have to tell him now, do this, and he's sluggish in his movement. You don't appreciate it. So in order for you to get that fajr namaz right, you make an investment that you go early. You go early, you take all the preparation. And Umar radiallahu anhu didn't like anybody talking and mixing around after Isha. He didn't like that at all. In fact, he would hit people as well. bhai, Isha namaz over, go home now. Go home. Go home and sleep. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْزَقُونَ بِصَلَاتِ اللَّيْلِ. Perhaps you go home and sleep earlier, then you'll get the tawfiq of making tahajjud namaz. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.